We invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of James. The book of James, right behind the book of Hebrews. We're going to start reading with verse number 12 and read down through verse 15. And Lord willing, we're going to look at a phrase in verse number 12 that God cannot be tempted. Verse 13, actually. Let's read with verse 12. We'll find out where it is. James 1, 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Number one, men are going to have temptation. Mankind is going to have temptation. Number two, it must be endured. And if it is, then you are considered to be blessed by the Lord. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried. Now, there's the word. We're going to look at some passages, and it's going to say tempted, but it's going to mean this. They are being tried. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So love of the Lord is that which causes us to endure temptation. And it is that reason that God is allowing these temptations, or actually has ordained these temptations for us, that in order that we might receive the crown of life. All right, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now here's our phrase. For God cannot be tempted. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Wait a minute. We just said the man that endures temptation is blessed, shall receive a crown of life, and it has to do with the crown of life that the Lord has promised to them that love him. So it sounds like temptation is involved with the Lord. It is. It most certainly is. But James goes on to say, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Number one, for God cannot tempt with evil. For God cannot be tempted with evil. And number two, neither tempteth he any man. We're going to have to study this out. But every man is tempted. Where does temptation come from? When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, there used to be a saying, and everybody thought it was funny, the devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything. The only reason I or you or anybody else has ever sinned is because we wanted to. The devil may have prompted envy and lust and so forth before us and unto us, but it was ourselves that gave into it. We voluntarily gave into it. Here's how temptation works. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But know this, verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, when a woman conceived, the sperm of the man enters into the egg of the woman and the embryo is formed. That's conception. When lust hath conceived, what does it bring forth? It bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Now, as he goes on to say, don't make any mistake about it now. All the good gifts and perfect gifts come from above. The sin and the lust and the temptation come from our own selves. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That's where it comes from, that which is common to man. God did not create sin. Sin came from within the heart of the creature. The angel that became the devil, and Adam and Eve that yielded to lust, and it came from within their own hearts. When it was conceived, it brought forth sin. Verse 2 of 1 James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or various temptations. What? You sure that's in the Bible? I'm supposed to be happy and count it joy when I fall into various temptations? Yep, that's in the Bible. James 1, 2. All right, read on. James 1, 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, your faith is tried, and we are tempted when we're drawn away. But if we don't yield to it, we resist that temptation. And dear soul, there is that sinful nature within us, even though we might be born again and have walked with God and read the scriptures and prayed and so forth, we still have those lusts that come up in our heart. So when we resist those, it works a patience. You say, well, I know what this is. It's really hard on me. It's really strong in me. It really wants me to give in to it. But when I don't, it works a patience, and you say, I know what it is next time it happens. I'm going to have patience. I'm going to endure this thing. I'm going to cry out to God, and you begin to work a work of resistance and steadfastness. Knowing this, the reason you should count it joy when you fall into temptation is that it will try your faith, and that will work patience. And now listen to verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. You keep on in this natural realm, understanding that that which is born of the flesh is still being flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is being spirit. John 3:6. So we have those two natures within us. When God saved us, He didn't immediately take us to heaven. We were not immediately glorified. It's just like when God gave the children of Israel the land of Canaan. You say, well, He gave it to them. Yep. But they had to fight and resist evils and resist temptations and to destroy and work against the Canaanites and their gods and the things that were lustful and sinful in the Canaanites. The Israelites had to endure. And not only the Canaanites, but the wild beasts and so forth. And so God said He didn't immediately destroy all the Canaanites. If He had, all the wild beasts would not have anybody to work against them. The Canaanites were killing all the wild animals that was destroying mankind. And it was a benefit to the Israelites. For if all the Canaanites had been destroyed, all the wild beasts would have prospered and multiplied, and it would have been a worse problem for the Israelites. So you have to learn to rejoice in tribulation. That sounds strange. Not to the Christian, it doesn't. It sounds hard. It sounds regretful to them. They don't like it. We don't like it. It's regretful that it's that way according to our feelings, but it's not regretful in that it's God's purpose and God's will. So the trying of your faith, that's how you get to be a blessed man. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations. Why? Because his faith is being tried and it's developing something that you need. And he says, faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, patience is so needful and necessary that the scriptures say, in your patience possess ye your souls. If you're going to show that you are a blessed person, according to verse number 12 of James chapter 1, you're going to have to endure temptation. And dear soul, if you endure temptations, you are saying that I am possessing my soul in patient endurance, in resisting evil and in determining that I am going to turn from the very appearance of evil, and I am going to try to remain holy. It's a warfare. It's hard. It's not easy. It's strong in you. It says, let patience have her perfect work. Keep on keeping on. Keep on resisting evil. Keep on praising God for various kinds of temptations, because you know that that's continually trying your faith, which is continually working more patience in you and understanding that these things are going to continuously happen. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. There was an old saint of God named Barzillai that really loved David. And when David was driven out of the city of Jerusalem by his wicked son Absalom, Barzillai did everything he could to take care of David. He brought him groceries and he honored him. And so when David came back into Jerusalem, he came by Barzillai's house and he said, come on, go with me, because you've been real good to me. Now I want to take care of you for the rest of your life. And Barzillai said, David, I love you. I appreciate it. Take my nephew. My eye is dim. I can't see much anymore. My tongue can't taste anything anymore. My ears are dull. I can't hear the joyful music of your court. And he said, I just can't involve myself in all of that. It doesn't mean anything to me. What does mean anything to you, Barzillai? I just want to sit under my fig tree. I just want to sit under my vine and spend my days resting and relaxing in this place right here that God has given me. That's a blessed man. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that physical condition speaks of the spiritual condition of the true believer. He comes to the place to where his lusts are dying out. Paul called it the members of your body, the various aspects of your human nature begin to die out, and you begin to have less and less response to all of that stuff, and you come to the place to where you're just happy just to sit and be quiet and let the rest of the world go by. So he says, let patience have her perfect work. What will that do? That you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Barzillai was promised by David, you can sit under my table, you can eat of the best of the land, you can be taken care of, we'll watch over you. Barzillai said, it's not that I want that stuff to satisfy a need, it's that I don't have a need anymore. He had become perfect. He had come to the place where he lacked or wanted nothing. Listen, contentment is not getting what you want. Contentment is wanting what you got. Being satisfied with that which God hath given you, you lack nothing. And the only thing that will bring you to that place is enduring temptation. And it will have its effect upon your emotional man, your mental man, your spiritual man. All of that will be dealt with in enduring temptation. So it brings you to the place of being perfect and entire, lacking nothing. And he goes on to say, if you lack anything, ask God. He gives to all men liberally and is not fault-finding. He said, and upbraideth not. It means he won't find fault with you for asking him for that which you stand in need of. God will supply your need. You having trouble with lust, you having trouble with temptation, you have trouble with the flesh, cry out to God. God knows about it. He's writing about it thousands of years ago. This was written. It's not something that snuck up on God. You may just now be dealing with it or dealing with one particular aspect of it that you haven't had to deal with before. But it's not new to God. God will take care of you. He upbraideth not. He will not find fault with your asking. There's nothing that you can ask that will surprise God or disappoint God in you. Help me, Lord. That's all Peter could say when he was sinking in the water. Help me, Lord. That's what you need to say. God knows, dear soul, He created you. He left the Canaanites in the land of Canaan that He gave to the Israelites, but not without them having to go in and fight for it. God has given you salvation, but it's not complete and entire without God putting the sword in your hand, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and resisting evil and fighting against these things. It's hard. Sometimes lust will come on a human being so forcefully, it'll almost buckle you to your knees. And you just can't believe that sin can have that powerful of sway in you and you claim to be a Christian. And well, that's as good as the devil will have it. Oh, you think you're a Christian? What kind of thought was that you just had? It was a fleshly thought, Mr. Devil. But that which is born of the Spirit is still being Spirit at the same time. It doesn't say blessed is the man that doesn't have temptation. That's what the devil's trying to tell you. Oh, you had a temptation. You must not be a Christian. That's not what the Bible said. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Because when he's tried, he will have his faith tested. And he will come to the place to where he lacks nothing. So it's a blessed thing to endure temptation. Far as I can understand, you can't endure something if you don't ever have it. You endure this cold weather we're having. Go get your coat and put it on. Build a bigger fire in your wood stove. Endure it. And it's something that you have to continually go through and continually overcome so that you might be what God would have you to be. Now, this brings up a problem. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. And this passage was taught to us. I know it was taught to me, and I'm sure it was to you too, because there's no temptation taken us except that which is common to all of us. And when Matthew chapter 4, well, what is it? It's the account of the temptation of Jesus Christ. And just before verse 1 starts in Matthew 4, the last verse in Matthew 3 says, "Lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Move the word chapter in the number 4 out of the way. Keep on reading. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Have you ever connected those two together? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God is well pleased with all of those that are in Christ Jesus. But He doesn't have any understanding, or He's not deceived in thinking that any of them are without temptation. You can't say blessed is the man that endureth temptation if the man doesn't ever have any temptation. So it leads you to believe if I'm going to be that blessed man, number one, I'm going to have to have temptation, and number two, I'm going to have to endure them. Well, I don't want to endure temptation. Well, nobody does. It's humiliating. It's embarrassing. And it's shameful. We don't like to even think of those things that have been placed upon us by the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. But they're there. You can't not have them. It's the way that it is. So then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, listen, to be tempted of the devil. Wait a minute. I thought we just read in James 1:13, and I'll read it to you again. James 1:13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now, since God cannot be tempted with evil, what are you going to do about Matthew 4:1? Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Well, somebody would say, the agnostic would say, the atheist would say, well, then he wasn't God, because it says he's going to be tempted of the devil. And the Bible said, God cannot be tempted with evil. The reason that this passage of Scripture can be misused by the devil in such a manner is because, generally speaking, all of us were taught by the harlot church that we grew up in and grew out of that this was just the man Jesus showing that he could win over the devil. That's wrong. They begin to show me and take me back to Deuteronomy and show me all of these things and tell me about how Jesus was a good man, a strong man, and he overcame the devil. Dear soul, Jesus was a good man. Jesus was a strong man, but Jesus was the God man. That's what they wasn't telling me. If you say this is just the man overcoming Satan, you are leaving out that which is the most important thing that you will ever have in your soul, and that is the knowledge and awareness that Jesus of Nazareth is very God. This is God, not some man representing God. It's not like David going out onto the field where the Philistine came up to the camp of Israel and standing up as the champion for Israel, and we're going to overcome this giant. Yes, that's a precious passage, and it does represent the forces of God in humankind overcoming the forces of evil in humankind. But, dear soul, this is not just a man that was picked to come out on the field and to overcome Satan. This is God come to show you that which the first Adam could not endure, this man, the God man, the last Adam, now is going to stand in our place, and he is going to say, I and the Father are one, John 10:30. It's going to say of him, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, Philippians 2. We understand and know that Jesus of Nazareth is very God. You say, yes, but he was a man. Absolutely. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. The mystery of godliness is, I don't know how that worked. I don't know how it came to be. I understand that it wasn't Joseph that came into Mary and had a son and he became Jesus. No, absolutely not. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You go figure that one out. Jesus Christ is very man of very man. There's nothing about him that is not after humankind. But there's nothing that is after him at the same time that is not after godliness. He is very God. What did he answer the disciple in John 14 when he said, show us the Father and that will be sufficient? Jesus said, have I been so long with you and that thou hast not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Ta-da! So, if I am going to study Matthew 4, I should not study it without reading James chapter 1 and verse 13. God cannot be tempted. You say, well, wait a minute. You just said Jesus is God. It doesn't matter whether I say it or don't say it. That's the truth. He is God. But you say he was led up of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Here we go. That word tempted has to do with being tried. That's what we read in James chapter 1. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And he's talking about, for when he is tried, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And it doesn't say for when he is tempted. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The blessed man is going to have a crown of life. The blessed man is seen to be and shown to be the man that God loves because he has endured temptation. And therefore, we find out that he's not tempted in order to break him or bring him down or shame him or cause him to sin. My little children, I write unto you that you sin not. That's what John wrote. Well, how can we sin not? Well, any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Cry out to God. He will not upbraid you, mock you. He will not act like this is a horrible thing you're doing. He will say, I'm glad you came to me. I'm glad you're crying out to me. I'll help you endure this. See, the thing that gets us in trouble and it seems to be impossible for pastors to get sheep to do this. I've been preaching at you for all these years and crying out to God that God would help you to understand what I'm saying and put it into practice. Do not sow any more fig leaves together. Do not be hiding from God in the trees of the garden. You say, well, I don't want God to know. What kind of God have you got? Does your God know everything? Is he omniscient? All-knowing? Well, yeah, we believe it in that doctrine that God is omniscient. Well, then he knows everything about you. Well, then he knows that you were tempted. And he knows whether you yielded to it or not. And dear soul, he says, if you need anything, come talk to me about it. And so the thing that Christians need to understand is what happened to the prodigal son who went straight from the hog pen into the father's arms. He didn't get a new suit of clothes until he got to the father. He didn't get new shoes till he got to the father. He didn't get the ring that went on his finger to show that he was in authority and had that seal of that household upon his fingers until he got to the Father. Listen, you need to go straight to God from the hog pen. Well, I can't do that. That wicked thought comes in my mind and yeah, but how are you going to get rid of it? You can't do it by yourself. And dear soul, what we need to do is understand. God knows, he said it's a blessed thing for you to endure temptation. Therefore, it's his will that in temptation that temptations come upon us. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Does God know that? Of course he does. So he knew that temptation was coming on you before it came. He knew that temptation had come upon you when it did come. He knows how hard it is for you to fight that temptation and keep it from conceiving and becoming lustful sin. What is it? No, that's not good. Who is it? that is your only hope and your only help, Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost. Right? Yep. People say, well, I'm not going to the doctor. Yeah, but look at these symptoms you're having. You need to get some help. Well, I'm not going to go to the doctor. They may tell me I have cancer. Well, wouldn't that be a reason why you ought to go to the doctor? So that in case you did have cancer, they can start working on it early and catch it early and deal with it early? Dear soul, you're going to have to understand that God is a person. And that person has shown his love for you by enduring the cross. Therefore, he has given you authority to come to him because he understands the flesh. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he had no consciousness of sin. He understands your flesh. He himself was made flesh and dwelt among us. He understands the power of the devil and the power of lust in the human flesh. You are denying yourself of the best help you could possibly have, and you are denying yourself of the opportunity of the unbelievable growth in grace by sewing fig leaves together and acting like it didn't happen. You're not going to fool God. Who hath told you that you have sinned? Did you eat of the tree of the garden? Sounds like a parent talking to the little child. And you know, they got chocolate on their mouth. They said, did you get into that candy that I told you not to get into? No. Got chocolate all over their face. Dear soul, listen. God is a wonderful, glorious, faithful, loving parent. And you got chocolate on our face. We got chocolate all over us. Listen, we are sinful creatures. What is salvation all about? But to save sinners. Did you not admit that you were a sinner? If you're not a sinner, there's no salvation for you. Because Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Nobody else. Therefore, bringing it before God. So I can't do that. God's holy. That's why you should do that, because he's the only one that can deal with that sin and not remain and not be corrupted. There are scars upon the humanity of Jesus Christ in eternal glory right now. But there's no sin. Yes. My sin put nail scars in his hands and feet. My sins put thorn scars upon his brow. My sin put a spear scar in his side. But my sin did not put any corruption on that holy humanity who himself is very God. You cannot corrupt God. And you keep on playing into the devil's hands. You don't call on him, who is the only one that defeated the devil and can deliver you from the power of temptation of Satan. Dear soul, unless you come to God and confess it to him and say, Lord, here it is again. It's embarrassing. I don't want to talk to anybody about it. But I'm going to have to talk to you because you're the only one that can help me. And I want to be that blessed man that when I am tried, that I endure temptation. And that when I have temptation, I can actually come. And I can't believe I could do this, but I could actually come to rejoice over various temptations. That's what James says in James 1:2. Can't believe it. Lord, there's no way that I'll ever come to the place to where I can count it all joy when I fall into various temptations. Yes, you can. You just haven't stayed in the fight according to the design of God and the Scriptures concerning temptation. Listen, when you're tried, run to God. Don't run from Him, run to Him. But I'm ashamed. Of course, you should be. That's the natural reaction. Shame is good. You see, remember next time, say, man, I remember how shameful I was last time. I ain't getting into that no more. Ta-da! Run to God. There hath no temptation taken you but that which is common to man. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I hope. It's happening to all of us. You're not the only one. We're all in this mess. But dear soul, it's not a mess to God. It's that which grows you up and develops you in your patience. And patience can come to have its perfect work, that you will be complete and entire, lacking nothing. Wouldn't that be good? You come to the place to where the devil comes at you with a temptation, water on a duck's back, just slides right off, you say. Ain't, you're wasting your time, Satan. I done been through all that, and I am not getting back into that again. And you say, well, I can't say that because it's so strong on me. You don't realize how strong it is. Yes, I do. What did I do? Come from Mars? I'm just a sinner just like you. I understand it. It's hard. It's difficult. It's embarrassing. And the worst thing to admit about it is very enticing. And that's what it said, when he's enticed of his own lust. And that's one of the things we don't want to admit. It just seems like it'd be so good to get into it. But when we did get into it, we found out it was sinful and it separated us from fellowship with God. And you find out, I don't care how enticing it is, I remember that last time, I am not going back into that again. Lord, help me. Here it is again, Lord. Have mercy upon me. Cry out to God. Don't sit down and pull fig leaves off and sew them together to try to make your aprons to cover up your nakedness that sin brought upon you. God has the remedy. God killed two animals and made coats of skins to cover them. God has killed the Lamb of God, and His righteousness is your garment. Oh, my soul. Where does fallen man have opportunity to meet the high and lofty one, the glory, the one of magnitude of glory, the beyond what we can comprehend? Where is it that fallen man can be introduced to and come to know God? At the cross where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, my soul. Do you understand and realize, in I think it's Romans chapter 5, it is, and verse 20. Here's the wisdom of God, and it's concerning our temptation. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered. That wasn't having no problem until the law came in and said, thou shalt not. You say, uh-oh. The law entered that the offense might be seen to be as awful as it is, that it might abound. I didn't know sin until the law said, thou shalt not lust. And then I said, uh-oh. Now my sin abounded. Listen, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God has a use for sin. That is where the sinner comes to be able to meet God. I don't know how to say this. I'm giving it my best shot. The lowest that God can stoop down occurred at the cross. And the place of contact for the sinner, for him to reach up, is at the cross. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Help me, Lord. And you come to know God where your sin is abounding, and you come to find out that God would have your sin abound. He gave you the law to say, don't do this and do that. And we broke it, and that showed how powerful our sin was, so that he could show you even more so how much more grace abounds. Is your sin horrible? Yes. Is it of a great magnitude? Yes. Well, grace is of a greater magnitude. How often should I forgive my brother? Peter said, 7 times? God said, you ain't even got started yet. But I say unto you, unto 70 times 7. Dear soul, let me tell you this. The rest of that verse, it says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. That's right in the middle of that verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I think. No temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You're going to have them. No need to deny it and no need trying to hide it. Get it out and talk to God about it. And be specific. Tell him what the lust was. You don't have to tell anybody else. You just tell God. Because God is faithful. That's the middle of that verse. Man, what a wonderful thing. My common to man temptations, I don't want to think about that. But the next phrase in that verse says, God is faithful. In what way is he faithful? He will not permit you to be tempted, above that ye are able. You mean as powerful as that lust was, as powerful that temptation was, it wasn't any more than my ability to deal with it? Right. Do you remember the parable of the talents? Now, we're not talking about, oh, that she's got talent, she can play the piano, or he's got talent, he can sing good. No, a talent was a piece of money. So the good man of the house gave one talent, one piece of money, gave another, and 2 talents, 2 pieces of money, and another 5 talents. Dear soul, there are different degrees of temptation that come upon those of different degrees of faith. God has assigned you different degrees of faith. And it doesn't matter whether you 1, 2, or 5. It matters that God will not allow you to be tempted above your ability to deal with it. So you can't say, oh, this is more than I can bear. No, it's not. That's a lie of the devil. It's not more than you can bear. God will give you the degree of faith that you need because he has assigned you the degree of temptation and trial that you will have, or vice versa. I should have said it the other way around. He will only allow the degree of temptations to come upon you according to your degree of faith. God is faithful. He will not permit you to be tempted above that ye are able. but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You mean coming into this thing, God had already prepared me a way to come out of this thing? Yes. I'm going to have to go there and read that and make sure that I'm not quoting the wrong verse. Yep, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you, and they will, they'll take you, but such as is common to man, that which is adapted to human experience. The devil's not going to be able to take you up on a high pinnacle of the temple and say, cast yourself down. The devil's not going to be able to take you up onto a lofty mountain and show you the kingdoms of the earth and say, I'll give you all of this if you'll worship me. Those are not common to man temptations. Those were those temptations that were reserved to the God-man. You're not going to have that. But yours are going to be those things that are assigned to you that cannot be above that ye are able. Listen. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is adapted to the human experience, that which is common to man. But God is faithful. How is he faithful? That temptation will not be above what you are able, because God won't allow it. Who will not suffer you, permit you to be tempted above that ye are able? If you have more than one child, eventually you're going to have the little darling come in and say, man, you didn't deal with me that way. You let her get by with that, and you never let me get by with that. And you have to explain this to them. Well, she's only so many years old, and you are this many years old, and you've learned and understood more than what she does. Excuse me. She can't even tie her shoes yet. What, you want me to put something on her that she ain't able to bear? Listen, dear soul, he is the perfect parent. He will not let you be tempted above that ye are able. You're just now learning to tie your shoes. Well, he ain't going to let you be taken up on the pinnacle of the temple and showed to cast yourself down, God will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. He's not going to allow you. You can't even, sit up at the table and eat without a bib. You get it all over you. You wear your food when you come down out of your high chair. Well, he's not going to let you be taken up on a high mountain and show you the kingdoms of the earth and say, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all this. That's too much. And if you as a parent would not let little Susie or whatever her face is be hurt or brought into a position of responsibility too great for her, even though little Miss Prius is complaining and fussing at you, you didn't let me get away with that. They won't understand till they have children of their own and understand that being a parent and dealing with children of different degrees of development and growth, that this is what God does. Let's see if I can finish reading this verse. There hath no temptation. This is 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is adapted to human experience. Amplified reads, such as is common to man. But God is faithful. That's where your help is. God knows all about your trials. He will not allow the trial to come upon you to be above that ye are able. So what you find out, no matter how strong the trial is, it's not above your God-given ability. Therefore, you find out by your trials how strong you really are in the Spirit. Well, God wouldn't let this come upon me if I wasn't able to bear it. So you find out more about your spiritual growth in temptations and trials than you do in memorizing scriptures and standing up and praying in church, and everybody say, "Oh, what a wonderful, flowery words that was. It just thrilled my heart." And you think, "Oh, I stuck in my thumb and pulled out a plum and said, oh, what a good boy am I." No. The way you find out how strong you are in the Lord is how we deal with present everyday trials. Count it all joy concerning the trials that come upon you. Why? Because that's how you find out how strong you are in the Lord. Because God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above ye are able. Want to know what your ability is? Yeah, Lord, what kind of ability has God assigned me? Wait till tomorrow. Something's going to hit you and it's going to knock you to your knees. And you're going to say, what we should think is, wait a minute. God wouldn't let that come upon me if I wasn't able to bear it. Therefore, I must have strength and faith according to knocking to the knees temptation. Wow. I didn't know I was that strong. Well, God wouldn't let it come on you if you wasn't. Listen, I'm going to try to finish reading this verse. God is faithful, who will not suffer or permit you to be tempted above that ye are able. Listen, but will with the temptation, not without the temptation, not instead of the temptation, but with the temptation. It's going to come with it. Also make the way of escape that you may be able to. You ain't going to like these last two words. Bear it. You're going to have to go through it. You're going to have to complete this. It will show you that, number one, God is faithful. He will not let you go through it without him. It will show you, number two, just how strong you are and how strong your faith is in the Lord. You say, man, that thing's horrible. It is powerful. And what you're doing is describing your faith. One talent, two talent, five talents. How much do you have? I don't know. How strong are your trials? Boy, them things are hard. Then you must have strong degree of faith. And God says, you really are a blessed man. And you say, man, I don't like this. Folks, let me tell you something. I don't like preaching it to you. But what kind of pastor would I be if I didn't warn you about this? Nobody warned me about it. They told me Matthew chapter 4 was a man enduring Satan's temptations and trials. No, it was God enduring Satan's temptations and trials. Well, why did he do it? We got to get to that yet. How much time we got? Well, my goodness. Why did he do it? Listen, John 14:30. Let me get on into this. John 14:30. You ought to write James 1:13 above the word chapter and 4 of Matthew in your Bible. And understand that we haven't yet been told the truth about this thing. And one thing that they left out was that this man who is resisting these trials is very God, who cannot be tempted. Then why does it say he was led up by the Spirit to be tempted? Because I told you that word is tried. And the trial of your faith that works patience is much more precious than gold. What did Jesus say about this? John 14 and verse number 30. John 14:30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world, who do you think that is? Satan. For the prince of this world cometh, and what are the last five words? And hath nothing in me. What? The prince of this world is coming. Right? The devil came after him. But he said, don't worry about it. There is no lust in me that he can get his hands on. What brings forth sin? Lust when it is conceived. And listen, when lust is conceived, he says, lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The prince of this world cometh, he hath nothing in me. That's Jesus Christ. Do you believe the Lord? Then why was he tempted? Let me read this real quick because our time's just about gone. Hebrews, the book right before James. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. What is it that causes you to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? There's an anchor inside the veil that holds me steadfast. No matter how much the storm blows, the waves beat, no matter how much my ship bobs up and down, there's an anchor that's holding me and it won't let me go. He says, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15, Hebrews 4. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You're not telling Jesus anything that he doesn't already know. And he will be touched with feelings for you concerning your infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If I want my automobile fixed, I want to take it to an expert. If I want my teeth fixed and I want dental work, I want to go to the best dentist there is. If I have a malady and I have problems with some kind of disease, I want to go to that specialist medical doctor. Well, dear soul, since I am a sinner and I will be tempted and am being tempted and I have to deal with this, I want to go to him who was in all points tempted yet without sin. This is the perfect one. This is the high and lofty one. This is the one that endured godly temptations, not those things common to man only. Read Matthew chapter 4 and read what he was put through. And it was not to show you that this is Jesus and he's going to overcome. It's going to show you that he's God and he can't be tempted. Your Savior is very God. God cannot be tempted with evil. And dear soul, you notice that in Matthew chapter 4, he fasted for 40 days before he was tempted. And it said, and it worked. Afterwards, he was an hungered. He brought the flesh down to its lowest ebb. It was not the strength of the flesh. It was that he is very God. Matthew chapter 4 is to show you, he is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I am just as well pleased with him in that hour of temptation when his face is drawn. Man, he looks like a skeleton. You go without food for 40 days and see what you look like. And here comes the devil. Oh, I got him now. I got him at his lowest ebb. Right. His lowest ebb in the flesh. But he is very God. And he comes out of it without a scratch. Did I say scratch? Without a scratch. Who cannot be touched with... We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, what is that? What does that provide us? Therefore, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. I got an abscess tooth. You got a good dentist? Got the best dentist there is. Well, good. That's the one I want to go to. My car's acting up. If you got a good mechanic, I got an honest mechanic. He will not charge you more than what is necessary, and he will fix your car, and it'll be right. That's who I want to go to. You got a temptation? You got problems with lust? I got somebody that was in all points tempted, yet without sin. I have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Go to him. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Do you know who mercy is for? The guilty. Tell God. Get out of the fig leaf business. Go naked before God and say, I did it. It's my fault. Help me. And Jesus said, you come to the right place, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help when in time of need. That's why he was tempted. So that he might show you that he knows all about your trials. He knows all about your sorrows. Don't try to hide it from him. Run to Jesus. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may find mercy. Our time is gone. Lord willing, we're going to get into this more deeply in the second lesson. And I trust that if you can, you'll come back and observe the second message and come praying for me as I pray for you. May God bless you.